Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse 1:14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo. Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo. Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Black Wall Street, ball out. I buy all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about. Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out. Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes. So the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes. It's a new moon and I'm feeling great. Off on time and I'm never late. Got my brothers with me and they all straight. Good wine, good food on my dinner plate. Yeah, we just chillin', having fun. Sayonara, old world, cause you done. Y'all got me shining like the sun. I ain't know we shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music's sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your
body. Jesus Christo,
fate bring. We be so fly, think we got wings. Yeah, we call the shots, tell them we the king. I like the suspense, leave them guessing. Pay them losing no mind, why you stressing? Devil always trying, he be testing. But Father steady raining down the blessings. Shout out to the sisters with the woolly hair. Natural style, rock it anywhere. Fashion on lock, people gotta stare. You ain't usual, now you something rare. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. You know you styling, and you know you fly. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. Praises to the Father, to the Most High.
We not stay still like ice in a freezer. Who not drink tequila, I sip margarita. Don't stay behind, get with the procedure. If you don't repent, then it's hasta la vista.
Party a dance, we a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your boss. Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo. Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo. Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. We are here on another Sabbath, also our Holy Day of Atonement. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Captain Aparium. Shalom. Happy Day of Atonement. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom. Shalom. Happy Sabbath. Officer Amariah.
Shalom. Happy Sabbath. Soldiers of Kis.
All praise to the Most High. So, continually lots of stuff going on in the world. I was talking before the show with the other brothers, and I said, Look, I've been talking about race a lot. I said, I don't want to know if I want to lead off the show with race. And then I go to look at the headlines in the news, and I'm like that's all there is. It's like,
that's the time we're living
in. Yeah, like, people still want to run around and talk about, like, racism doesn't exist. It's like, are you serious? Like,
you know, interestingly enough, like it's funny you say that, because, like, we don't want to keep talking about, not that we don't want to keep talking about it, but we've been keep talking about it. It seems like everything leads to that, right? But at the end of the day, since the beginning of time, as the scripture says, it's always been about nations. You know, we use race, but it's really about nations, the 18 nations that were formed after the flood. We've mentioned that a few times on the show. Okay. Noah, his wife, and his three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham, and their wives repopulated the earth after the flood. And as it was in the beginning, when there was the sons of God and the sons of man, it was the same way after the flood, because the Most High chose the lineage of Shem. And it's interesting, because when you read the Bible, they always put Shem first, but Shem wasn't even the oldest. I believe it was Japheth, right? Japheth was the oldest. But they always put Shem, because the Most High is all about order. He's all about his people. And through that lineage, he chose, okay, one of the sons from that, great grandkids, if you will. Because, like, we've spoken about this before. I think you want to go to something. But when people say they people are anti-Semitic, right? Were you going to go there?
No. Okay. Go ahead. No.
Anti-Semitic. They don't realize how ignorant they sound when they say that, because it's really, first of all, it's really anti-Shemitic.
First of all, correct.
Okay, first and foremost, let's get that right. Okay, but also, to say you're anti-Semitic, let's just stick with the terminology that society uses today, right? That means that you're against the East Indians. That means you're against the Arabs. That means you're against the Hispanics, the Asians. Okay, because under Shem came all those people that I just met, all those nations that I mentioned today. So it just goes to show you that no matter how you try to avoid race, that alone is a race baiter.
Right, and what I wanted to bring out is that the term that we use today is race, because that's the term that, let's say, like, colloquially, it people would understand. But it's not about race, because when we say about peoples, that gets people confused, and they say, the Bible uses the term peoples. Get me 2 Ezra 6, and I want to start at, let's start at 53, because you're right, there was a separation, and it was God who made that separation. Right,
from the beginning, the beginning, since the book of Genesis.
Right.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6, verse 53. Upon the sixth day thou gavest commandment unto the earth, that before thee it should bring forth beasts, cattle, and creeping things.
All right, so on the sixth day, it's saying the Lord started to make the different beasts, all right? So cattle, creeping things, go ahead.
And after these, Adam also.
So he also made man on that day, all right? So he says, after these, Adam also, go ahead.
Whom thou madest Lord of all thy creatures.
And that's real heavy. That has a lot of meanings in there. People say, oh, just Lord of all the creatures, because Adam named the creatures. We were made to be gods. All right, go ahead.
Of him come we all.
Right. So, oh, look, there we go. Right. Yeah. We could stop right there. See, one people. Of him come we all.
Close the book.
Go ahead.
And the people also whom thou hast chosen.
Oh, so now separations are being made.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Which modernly would be called racism. Separations are being made. And the people, of him come we all, but and the people also whom thou hast chosen. Read on.
Verse 55. All this have I spoken before thee, O Lord, because thou madest the world for our sakes.
So the Lord made the world for our sakes. The people whom he have chosen, like Parham was speaking about earlier, all right, he went and through a lineage, he chose one. And then through that, he chose another one specifically, all right? And on it went. And that's how he went. And he chose, at the end, he gets to Jacob, and he changed his name to Israel, and he chose his seed after him. So he says, he made the world for our sakes. The creation was made for us, right? Because he needed a place for us first. So he said, listen, I'm going to make a place. So it was all a master plan as he went through these days, right? He made the animals and all that first. And then he made man last. And he said, hey, you know what? Now, I've led up to this point. I had this game plan. He had a diagram. Now I'm ready to place my ultimate thing right here. But I'm not done with that. There's a separation that needs to happen with that. You had a point that you want to bring out with that?
Yeah, just a precept, because the Bible has to be read precept upon precept, right? It says, of whom come we all, and the people also whom thou hast chosen.
Don't lose that, though.
So this is the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel.
Right, right. And right, so he chose Israel. So it's telling you who he chose, okay? Good precept. Let's go back. Actually, that whole chapter is really good in Isaiah. So go back, read verse 55 again.
Second Ezra.
Actually, start at 54 again.
Verse 54. And after these, Adam also, whom thou madest Lord of all thy creatures, of him come we all, and the people also whom thou hast chosen. All
right, so just like we read in Isaiah 14 and 1. Go ahead.
All this have I spoken before thee, O Lord, because thou madest the world for our sakes.
Go ahead.
As for the other people, which also come of Adam, thou hast said that they are nothing.
So he's telling you there are other people which also come of Adam. And he says, God has said that they are nothing. Not us. We're just repeating what God has said.
Right.
Because God is the creator of all things. He made the world for us. It's telling you he made all these things and everything that's on it. It says, God said, yeah, you know what? There are other people that you didn't choose. They also come of Adam. He says, but you said they're nothing. Go ahead.
But be like unto spittle.
Spittle. That's like you know, like when you're fasting. Like we're fasting, you get a little bit of.
Yeah, it's not even the full spit. It's just like the little tiny things
right,
that come out.
Right. Or like brothers who get real angry and they spit when they talk. Mm-hmm. All right. That's like that. So this is the little bit of spittle that you just wipe away. That's what he's comparing the other people to. Go ahead.
And has likened the abundance of them unto a drop that falleth from a vessel.
So he's saying the abundance of them. He's saying basically you've likened all of them unto a drop that falleth from a vessel, all right? So I know we say like you're walking with a bucket, right? And like a drop, literally a drop comes out. Like if you, not a splash, you're talking about like a dropper, like if you've seen a drop. He says in the bigger scheme of things, Israel is all of that. And then the little drop that comes out. So, yeah, we all came from the same people, would understand. They're just like a drop. That's, to me, I made them to have their purpose and to serve their cause. Mm-hmm. But that was really it. There was no other intention behind that other for them to fulfill a certain role. My chosen, my near to me is you, Israel. Go ahead, read the next verse.
Verse 57. And now, O Lord, behold these heathen, which have ever been reputed as nothing.
From the beginning, like Captain Aparin was saying, from the beginning it was like that. So what you call racism today, God ordained that thing from the beginning. It says these heathen, these other nations, which have ever been reputed as nothing. I mean, they've always been reputed as nothing. Go ahead.
Have begun to be lords over us and to devour us.
He says, so they have become to be lords over us and to devour us. And you look historically, that we've always, I mean, you know, we had a time of rulership there based on the Lord's plan. But he says, then after, like according to the starting with Esau, Genesis 25, he says, once you've broken the yoke and you have the rule, all right, he goes, you're going to rule them by the sword. And it started with them, and then everybody went into cahoots with them as far as being over us. Go ahead, read on.
Verse 58, but we thy people, whom thou hast called thy firstborn.
Which we were not. Israel was one of the last nations named, but even then, he's God, right? So he said, you're my firstborn. Go ahead.
The only begotten and thy fervent lover.
That's the type of relationship we have with the Lord. That's the nearness. We're using these terms to try to describe it. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, but these terms are used so that we can get a sense of the affinity that the Lord has for his people, Israel, which are you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. All right, go ahead.
Are given into their hands. If the world now be made for our sakes, why do we not possess an inheritance with the world? How long shall this endure?
So Ezra was just, you know, having the discussion with, you know, the spirit of Christ through an angel. And, you know, he was just asking him. He's like, yo, you've made some promises to us and we've been in affliction so long. When is this going to happen? When is this Messiah that you promised going to come so that we can have our inheritance? Because you say, and the scriptures prove out that you made the world for us, that we're your chosen, but it don't feel that way sometimes, right? Like you really got to be in the spirit to understand that and see that it really is that way. But there's a time of captivity, a time of punishment and judgment that we must serve because we just not right.
It says that he made people right, but he chose a certain people, that things were made for their sakes and everybody else is considered nothing, right? People say, nah, that doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound like something that the Most High would say or even do. But if you fast forward to an example like for today, you got, let's say, a wealthy businessman that built an empire, right? He had an inheritance to give to his five children. He's going to choose the one child that he knows is going to take over everything and run away. And he might have that one F-up child who's like the middle child that's always in trouble. You know what? And just give him like a little trust fund or something like that. Let him live off of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same exact thing.
Right. Right.
Right. Quality. And you know what? Go back to Ezra 6 and 56 again.
Second Ezra 6 verse 56. As for the other people, which also come of Adam.
All right, stop. So you see, where a lot of the confusion comes into play is, first and foremost, y'all don't know your Bible. Okay, guess what? I didn't know my Bible. So I was taught by learned men that all of world history, and we touched on that last week, is in this Bible. Okay, that every nationality that is walking the earth today is in this Bible. So because you don't know your Bible, and you have to understand something. So it ain't like, because we're reading out of the Bible, right? So it ain't like we're just pulling this out of thin air or whatever. This is a book that throughout your generations, people listening, you have followed and have held close to your heart dearly. Dearly, as a valid book.
It's not a fly-by-night
book. Right, it's not a fly-by-night book, okay? It's not a, although it does make you feel good, it's not a feel-good type of book. This is actually hardcore real history that is documented by scholars.
It's a lot more than Jesus wept.
It's a lot more than Jesus wept and walked with sheep and lambs and had children sit on his lap. Because that's the envision when people hear the Bible, think about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more than that. This book, okay, is it's dark at times because there is a lot of destruction in there. All right. There's a lot of wars, right? Our people were destroyed throughout the whole book, more than any other nation.
Okay. But the world—that's no different than the world's document of history. It's, right. It's
exactly.
Dark times.
Exactly.
There's violence. That's why it's laughable when people say, "Well, what about when the Israelites went in and they killed this and they killed that?"
Right.
Really, we're gonna play that. We're gonna see whose crimes were more egregious.
Well,
listen, that's an easy cut. That's like when that caller called. Well, what about this? And let's be fair about that. Hey, the difference is the power that created us said that do this.
Right.
He didn't tell y'all to do that.
And in addition to that, if you really want to go there, America's been doing that for hundreds of years.
Well, to think the Bible wouldn't have dark spots like you're saying, Cap. Would be ignorant because the scripture says we're made in the image of the Most High.
Right.
That's not just his physical attributes. That's also his emotions, how he feels, his anger, everything else. So those things have to be documented in his word that was given to us.
Right. So going back to the scripture here, as it says, as for the other people, which also come of Adam, because you don't only follow what you believe as people who are learned, okay, or you look up to as people who have knowledge, okay, you fail to realize that when we bring this out right out the bat, oh, you're racist. No, okay, we're not, because in this scripture here, Ecclesiastes clearly says, oh, you're racist. We all come from Adam. Yes, but because you are ignorant to the fact of how nations were created today, the 18 nations, you feel that it's a racist thing. But yes, what it says here that we all came from Adam, that's not being contradicting, okay? Because if you look at Noah was from the seed of Adam, right? He was chosen because who was his father? Noah's father was, I just slipped my mind right now. It's in Genesis, obviously. It's in Genesis. Okay, but his father, that lineage, it's in Genesis 10, I believe. Go to Genesis 10 in that chapter there. Okay, because it talks about, say again? Okay. It's not Genesis 10, I'm sorry.
Genesis 5.
Yeah. When it says the descendants of Noah's sons, when you look at Genesis, is that what I want, Genesis 5?
Yeah. He descends from Methuselah,
right,
and Enoch,
from Methuselah,
and Lamech.
Right.
That name was
right.
Lamech.
But here's the thing. That's chapter 5, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All of chapter 5 is talking about the descendants of Adam.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So Noah was a descendant of Adam. So, yes, all the people came from Adam. You know why? Because when the world was flooded, Noah was the man standing who came from Adam. And that's where the 18 nations that we know today came from. Because Noah's sons, right, Shem, Japheth, and Ham, create the 18 nations. Ham created all the real African nations. Okay? Who, correct me if I'm wrong, we had Mizraim, Foot,
Cush.
Okay.
Canaan.
And Canaan. Okay. That was the Africans, the Africans. Okay. The real Africans, not you so-called blacks that can think you're African-American, that Africa is your motherland. No, Israel is your motherland. So, I mean, am I making sense? At the end of the day.
Read Genesis 10:32 real quick. And tells you there.
Says they're African, but then can't say what country in Africa they're from. Africa is not a country. It's a continent.
Well, here's my question that I've always asked. Okay, well, when was the last time you went to go visit your family?
And then why does everyone want to be from Mizraim, right? Say that they're Egyptian. No one wants to claim being put.
Right.
Or Kush.
No, they don't want to be Ethiopian.
They don't want to be associated with big heads.
So Genesis 10, he goes over the generations, but then just read 32. We'll get to the point. We don't need to read all the hard sounding names.
Right? I know this is challenging.
10:32.
The book of Genesis, chapter 10, verse 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations and their nations.
All right. So in their nations, so races, you'll never find the word race in the Bible. OK, the Lord used nations or generations. OK, in their nations. Go ahead.
And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood.
It was God who made the separation. He never said, let's be one people. Okay. So the earth was repopulated by the same family, which at the end still traces its lineage back to Adam.
He
said, but I divided them. Even within this family, I made them nations. So this whole one people doctrine, when you hear people say we're one people, our blood is red. Listen, as a creation.
Animals bleed red.
Right. As a creation, God made men, right? But then within those men, he said, I also made Israelites,
exactly.
And I chose Israelites.
Exactly. That's right. And that's where the confusion comes in, because people don't know their history. This is historical fact. Here's what I always ponder on, and this week I was hitting on it hard. Let's take all of them, because I was just going to separate it just to the so-called Hispanics. But you so-called blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, right? Tell me who you are in the Bible. Now, it may be a little easier for the so-called blacks, right? Because they may say, oh, well, we Ham. Let's just say.
Right.
Right? Ham. Because they associate with Africa. And some of them have the knowledge that, okay, Ham is the forefather of Africa, you know, the Africans, the real Africans, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? But that's false, by the way. Okay? You descend from Shem, okay, who Abraham, and then he had Isaac, who had Jacob. Okay, but what about you so-called Hispanics and Native Americans? Where are you in this Bible? Okay, you just don't exist. So every nation that's populating the earth today is in this Bible, but you're not here?
That's a heavy point, Cap. It really is, because that's the whole reason why I can never subscribe to the Bible before, because I never saw myself in it.
Because you couldn't see yourself in it.
Right.
And that's why we understand, being learned men in this truth for many years, that is the case. So this is why we have a lot of patience when we teach our people.
That's why it's important. That's why we say that at the end of the day, this is why the truth matters, all right? Oh, what does it matter if Christ was black or the Israelites are black? It does matter, because it all starts with that. Mm-hmm. It all starts with that because of what we read in 2 Ezra 6. And also, okay, when we speak about Genesis 10:32, and he says he took one family and made nations out of the children of those three sons, give me Deuteronomy 7 and 6. Because guess what? All men were created equal in the sense that physically we all have red blood. We all have hearts, two lungs, two kidneys, right? All that stuff. But then God said this.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the
earth. Above all people. You can easily take that word people and put races there if you want. Mm-hmm. All right? Because that's the colloquial word. Okay?
That's the common word today. Sure.
So, yes, we all came from Adam. But then God said, but I chose Israel. Like
right.
We read in Isaiah 14 and 1.
Right.
And I not only did I choose them, I chose them to be
above
all
people.
Nations.
Okay, and let's prove that some more, because you're going to see that throughout the whole Bible. It's not just little snippets like, oh, okay, oh, well, yeah, you can. No. Give me Deuteronomy 32. And let's start at 7. And I want to start at 7 for a reason. Because then you have the people that will say, okay, well, that was for back then. Doesn't really matter nowadays. Times have changed, right? We hear that, right, when we're out there teaching in camp?
All the time.
Okay, oh, well, things are different now.
That was for back then.
Yeah, that was for back then. Well, first and foremost, we've gone with a scripture that says Malachi, okay, that God changes not, okay? We also go on over to 1 Corinthians 14:33 that he's not the author of confusion, because by you saying that, you're saying God is confused, that he's the author of confusion. No, he's the master architect, okay? And also I go here, because we hear this also with, well, slavery was 400 years ago. Forget about it, right? Forget about all those things, right? It's different now, right? Like that one Edomite politician where was running for some office, he said, you blacks already got your reparations when Obama was elected, right? You know, little things like that, right? But meanwhile, we just had 9/11 just passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we never forget that. That's always been the slogan, right? Never forget. We never forget Pearl Harbor. We haven't forgotten the Holocaust yet, right? Let's go even further back, okay? So we have to be forced to forget the atrocities that have happened to us.
And continue to happen.
And continue to happen. You see, I always bring this out, okay, because it's true. A lot of us bring it out, but it's just true, all right? Yes, maybe other nations did go through some atrocities. I'm not going to refute that, okay? But out of all, and maybe some other nations were in some form of slavery, right? Obviously, it was more indentured servitude than it was, because they got to go home to their families, okay? And they got paid, minimal, but they got paid, right? Okay. But at the end of the day, when you look at the whole atrocities that have happened to every nation, the biggest one that has happened to the so-called blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans is that we don't even know who we are. We don't even know who we are. We just said that you can't even find yourself in the Bible, and you're in there. So you go to the Caucasian man's science, ancestry.com, and they're going to tell you that you're five parts this, 10 parts that, like you're a recipe.
Right.
Like you're a recipe. Think about that. And you know what? We are a recipe. Okay, we were created in the lab of the Caucasian man. He can Yahweh Sub likes to use that. Okay, he says the Negro was created in the lab. Okay, and we were. Okay, so go ahead. So read that.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 7. Remember the days of old.
So, yes, we're going to remember slavery, because the Most High God said that we need to remember the days of old. Yes, we're going to bring it up, because to know where you're going, you got to know where you come from. There's no two ways about it. Go ahead.
Consider the years of many generations.
Wait a minute. So forget about slavery. When the Most High God, the creator of the earth and the universe, the God of Israel, said what?
Consider the years of many generations.
Consider the years of many generations. And let's think about this for a minute. Slavery really hasn't been Jim Crow laws. And what were the other one? The black codes. Those are fairly recent. I'm a child of the 70s. I remember in the 70s they were still alive. I remember going to the movie theater, okay, and Caucasians are getting into it with us and other so-called blacks. Okay, why are you here? Get out of here. I remember, and you could probably attest to this a little bit, Captain Yashua, you couldn't go four blocks from Gun Hill Road to Allerton without getting into some beef.
Right.
Okay? And that was late 70s, early 80s when it was still like that. We could not go to the movie theater without getting into some beef with some of the Italians over there. Okay? All right, and we light-skinned. and we still had that problem. Okay, because again, it's not an appearance thing. It's a spiritual thing when you really get down to the nitty gritty. Mm-hmm. All right, so go ahead.
No, some people want to make it about appearance, but it's not. It,
well, they're ignorant. That's
ignorance.
Nothing
to do with that.
Right, that's ignorance. That's ignorance and hate.
It's a people.
Right. Go ahead.
Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father.
So I'm supposed to, according to this, I'm supposed to ask my father, Father, what was it like when you were growing up? Mm-hmm. And that means that my father should have asked his father, what was it like? Mm-hmm. Okay? And they are not going to candy coat it because I know, you know, our parents didn't and grandparents, and they're going to tell you what it was like, how you couldn't use the bathroom of a Caucasian. Like you had to. I was watching Driving Miss Daisy yesterday, and I remember he's driving, okay, not to go off on a tangent, he's driving, and they were going to Alabama, okay, and he couldn't hold anymore. They would drive because she got lost, because she wanted to run everything, you know, the fake Jew and everything, right? And he had to ask her for permission to go use the bathroom. So she says, well, how come you didn't use it back when we were at the gas station? He said, ma'am, you know that us colored folks cannot use white folk bathroom. Okay? So these are the conversations that you should be having with your children. You should remember the days of old. Go ahead.
Ask thy father, and he will show thee.
Okay?
Thy elders, and they will tell thee.
Not only your father, but what about the older generation? The people that experienced it. How was it like? Okay, who are we? How about this? How about who am I? And you know what, unfortunately? Because there's scriptures on that too. Just because you're old don't mean you have knowledge. Mm-hmm. Because if you're telling them, oh, we're the Johnsons, or we're the Gonzalez's, or we're the Jacksons, you're lying.
This is maybe stuff that you bring out.
Okay. All right, you're doing a disservice to your generations going forward. Every single generation that stays asleep and slumber and dumb about not knowing who they are, you are diminishing the strength and the power of your true heritage, which is not a Johnson. Mm-hmm. Like this football player said when he accepted the award, he thanked slave master. Are you kidding me?
Hey,
you're an idiot.
I'm gonna give you an example of that. All right, in something that's what do they call it? When you're influenced by like the major stuff, like gosh, there's a term for it. I can't remember. I'll think about it. But anyway, Game of Thrones, right? Popular show. A lot of people watch it. There's a fair amount that don't, but a lot of people watch it. I highly recommend it.
I hear it's good. Don't lose that.
It's good in and of itself, but looking at it from the perspective of like leading and things like that, man. Like it shows you how things, you know, like how they have advisors
jockeying for position.
Yeah. It tells you all that, like how they have it, you know, how even in that they have different advisors and you know what I'm saying? So that you don't try to, you know, it's good for the women to see how they should be speaking to the men.
Impressionable.
All right. No, it's not impressionable. No. There's a term that they use. Gosh. It's not zeitgeist, but it's something like the zeitgeist of the times. Like okay. So like you're influenced by something. So basically, Game of Thrones is an influential show is the point that I'm making. So maybe some people in modern times would understand your point. I want to bring out a different angle to your point of why it's important that we you're doing a disservice to your people when you profess to be something else. Because I'm going to show you the effect it has on your mind. Jon Snow, you watch Game of Thrones?
I have.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Jon Snow, real quick, I'll give some reference for some people who don't know, right? There's a lot of royal families, all right? One of them is the Starks. He comes back with a kid from, you know, after fighting this other ancient family. And if you didn't have the kid with your wife in this realm, they call that a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know in the world, if you don't know who your father is, you're a bastard. But in this case, you knew who your father was. But basically, a child that was had as a product of an affair.
And that's in the scriptures, too.
Is they call them a bastard in the Bible. I mean, in the show. So in the show, you have this guy, Jon Snow. And anybody that's born in the north, the judgment is you don't get to get the family name. You don't get the name of your father. Mm-hmm. Right. You get subscribed another name. First thing relative to what happened to our people, subscribed another name.
Right.
Okay. So they call him Snow. If you were from the south, you would be called Sand. because it was like a desert area. So you would be, you know, John Sand if he was born the same way, but born in that region, right? So his name was Snow. Now, because his name was Snow, this kid grew up, as much as he seemed like he was special and had ability and power and everything, he grew up with a state of mind of being broken and downtrodden because he would never be able to overcome that. He would never have a royal family. He would never inherit any of the father's name and reputation and lineage. He would not inherit the castle, any of that stuff. So he took an oath to what he called take the black. So this is where usually they send criminals and stuff to get a second chance to defend the wall against invaders. All right. This is how bad it was, that he thought that even though he was of a royal lineage, that there was nothing for him in the world. So he had to go somewhere else. All right. So he basically lives his life through these episodes doing exceptional things, but with the understanding that I'm a bastard. I have no lineage. I'm not royal. I'm not special. All right. He didn't see himself exceptional, but he was exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, he's not Snow. His last name's Targaryen. He's, which was the ruling family of those kingdoms for the longest time. They're able to ride dragons and speak with dragons and all this other stuff like that. So, like, he was a lord over things, basically, kind of like Adam was lord and all that.
Right.
So the point that I'm making is that something as simple as subscribing to a name and a lineage mm-hmm. that's not your own mm-hmm. will impact your whole life until right. you, and then you find out that you're not and that you're this exception. It changes everything. Wait. When you fully understand and embrace that you're a special people. Why would you want to run around and call yourself something else right. when there's something greater? Just like this whole Kemet community and all this other stuff. All right. To be God's chosen, there is nothing higher than that.
Nothing higher, which is why, like Trump did recently, he made it a point to call Assata Shakur by her slave name.
Right.
Okay? Because there's power in a name.
Right.
There's power in a name. So just like to say your name, you're an Israelite, right? And your surname is Israel, there's power in that. Why? Because of what the history proves in the Bible is the power, which is God's chosen. Like the captain said, there's no other higher honor than being God's chosen, which is why, which segues great back to just when we finish this here, let's go ahead and read 8.
Verse 8, when the Most High divided the nations. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance.
So stop right there. So at this point, the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance. So now in this case, it's talking about all the other 17 nations. And I'm saying 17 because he's going to divide it by one great nation, which is the nation of Israel. It's going to explain it here. It's, in other words, this Israel is going to be the standard mm-hmm. as to what. So we're going to Israel got their portion first, and then everybody else got whatever crumbs were left over. You're going to see. Go ahead.
When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance.
That's a good script. I was thinking about that.
When he separated the sons of Adam.
He separated. What is that word commonly used today? Segregated. Mm-hmm. He separated. Okay? You have to understand that the Caucasians, and again, here we are going back into race again, but you got to, because at the end of the day, it's about Jacob and Esau.
I changed the title of the show to A Brief Discussion on Race.
Because at the because you know what, though? But listen, let's all be realistic.
I said we tried not to talk about it.
We tried.
Look at it. It's everywhere.
We tried. But the whole Bible and everything we're referencing is the Bible. We haven't referenced one article yet.
No, but you know what? And it's not. We try not to talk about it, not because there's any problem with it. We don't care. It's biblical.
Right.
We try not to talk about it just to do something different. So it don't seem like the title every week is
exactly okay. But you want to know something, it's so significant.
It's ultimately significant because it's the first part of your repentance.
It's your identity.
That's how the bones come together in the valley of dry bones and the flesh comes upon you.
Absolutely. Right. And that's why it's in that in Ezekiel 37, it's a process. It's a step. Because right now our people, not us, because
let's
we
get
awoke.
That. Let's get that. Finish your thought. Well, I want them to get that while you do that.
Okay. Not us, our people. Okay, because the ones that are repentant, because we've woken up on that valley of dry bones. But our people that are living the life of the heathen, a heathen mentality, heathen lifestyle, following the cultures of America or whatever countries that they're living in, not that's contrary to the Bible, okay, they have dry bones. That's what metaphorically the whole chapter in Ezekiel 37 is talking about. So let me just finish this so the captain could go over where he wants to, okay? So we read it from the top again.
verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance.
Their inheritance. So he gave every nation something. Okay.
When he separated the sons of Adam.
So the benchmark of this separation was going to be based on whatever was left over after Adam, the sons of Adam, who are the sons of God, who today are the Israelites, okay, because it's spiritual, and that's a topic for another day, okay, that's getting very deep right there, but who are the Israelites today, and I can put that in the New Testament, but I'm going to go there for now so to get the captain to bring out his point, okay, who separated the sons of Adam, go ahead.
He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
So again, the benchmark always been the children of Israel. Callers, you can call in. The number is 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. So read verse 9.
Verse 9. For the Lord's portion.
For the Lord's portion. That's his portion. The best portion. Go ahead.
Is his people.
Woo. Go ahead.
Jacob is the lot of his inheritance.
That is the lot. That's the main lot.
Right.
And then from that lot, he gave all the other nations, he gave us acres. He gave them lots.
I have a quick precept for that real quick about that being the Lord's portion and everything else. Ooh. This is Psalms 135 and verse 4.
Ooh.
For the Lord hath chosen Jacob and unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure.
Peculiar treasure.
Hey, look at the definition of lot. The decision or choice made by such a method. So meaning the casting or drawing of such objects as a method of deciding something.
Hmm.
So it's telling you the Lord chose.
We're the benchmark.
He chose. He said, you know what? That right there.
Right there. You.
Right there. You.
You.
You. Peculiar. Hey, wasn't that one that Bishop was bringing that out? That movie that came out last year about the peculiar... Mrs. Peregrine's Peculiar School for Peculiar Children or something like that. All right, they all had like special powers and things like that.
Peculiar means belonging exclusively to.
Hey, I'm telling you. So that's why, you know, I look at things like that, like Game of Thrones, man. And I look at that thing spiritually. And I'm like, damn, yo, this dude's like, that's like walking around like as Rodriguez. And then you find out you're Israel.
Cap, I'm telling you, that's heavy. That's super heavy because the scripture says as a man thinks in his heart, so was he.
Right.
So you can dominate all these sports and everything else, but at the end of the day, you have somebody else cutting you your check. So you can always see yourself at the bottom of something.
Right.
And then so when it took me about 6 months to fully buy into the fact that I was actually chosen from God. And I actually really had to believe Deuteronomy 7:6.
To buy into it. It captured you. It caught your attention.
Right. It sounded good. Okay, slave ships, Christ is black. It sounds great. But I didn't fully believe Deuteronomy 7:6 because I've been so conditioned my whole life.
Right.
And I remember the exact day I'm driving to work and I actually believed it. I was like, man.
Wow.
Bro, hey, I'll tell you goosebumps right now, bro.
Hey, listen, that's why they tell you a lie told often enough becomes the truth.
Right.
And they keep perpetrating one people, one love, one people. Even though on the back end, it's not what it's like. Hey, but that's what they put out.
One people, one love, Gonzalez, Johnson, Smith. Rodriguez, Rivera. You keep saying that to yourself.
Right.
You keep believing that lie because that's a lie. Right. That's not your last name.
No. And then this is the proof. My slave name's tattooed across my back.
Wow.
There was pride in it because we had no pride in anything else.
Right.
Hey, you're right about that. I remember I used to do a search on my slave name, and I would be like, I had like little name searches and where the history comes from, and we want to be everything except. What we really are now that we know in the Bible was Israel, but even within our own race, like we weren't even comfortable with that. We were searching for something greater. Because why? Because the world tells you enough that those are the base things. There's nothing. What have they accomplished? They teach us that our history started with slavery, and we never did anything great. And that's contrary. Right. You know, that's why I have a little, and it's a smidgen. All right.
Hold on a second.
Of compassion.
You said something very heavy right there that, although I've heard it, it never really. You said that we're taught that our history starts with slavery.
Mm-hmm.
When you really look at that, I'm sorry, Cap, but it just really caught me. When you really mentioned that, that means that we were always nothing.
Right.
that there was never a time that maybe we were kings and then we went into slavery, that we were nothing.
But 2 Ezra 6:57 says they were ever reputed as nothing, not us.
That's why I had to bring that out, because I just meditate on it.
So, but understanding that, I can understand a little bit. I have just a little teeny bit of compassion of the sickness of our people when I see people like who are in that comedic nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Because they go to Egypt because Egypt was a great world power. It was dynastic, all right? They had lots of inventions, even to the point of idolatry, which is an invention as well, okay? Mm-hmm. And I get it. They're clinging to something because of the understanding in a world sense that we – as you know, natives, Hispanics, blacks, our history was cannibals, naked, running around, giving into our lust. We had no mental faculties of anything, cultured is the term that I'm looking for.
Right.
So I could see why people would have an affinity to say, hey, you know what? We're from Africa, so they believe. And the Egyptians are from Africa, which is why they look to that and not the Kushites, mm-hmm. right? I'm not gonna say I'm this. I'm a Somali. I'm not an Ethiopian. I'm gonna say I'm an ancient Egyptian, that I'm an ancient Kemetic. I'm from Mizraim, whatever. You know, all the different terms that they use, because that's still confusion of faces. That's still Daniel, where they have no identity, so they go to the thing that seems most magnanimous.
There you go. Right.
And they say, okay, the only thing I can point to historically that was magnanimous was the ancient Egyptian Empire, and that our people were that color.
Right.
And because there's no way that they can see themselves in this book. This is why the truth matters so much, and why the identity is such an important part. Well, one of the reasons, rather. All right? So I want to get that, because it's almost like we shouldn't even have to, but we do, because, again, we got to realize who our audience is. Stress so much why the race piece is important. It's important because of identity. It's important because of all the various things that we discussed until this point. But chiefly, it's the first part of what brings you out of the dead state that you're in.
Right, because all the stuff, the nukes from North Korea, the terrorist acts in the other country that eventually are going to really come here in droves too, because the scripture says so, that none of that really matters if you don't know why it's happening and who you are.
Right. The first step of repentance in First Kings is, if thou shalt bethink thyself.
Right. It has to start with that. All right. So get me Ezekiel 37:1. So we can understand this, because people have heard this term. I've never, I was in different forms of Christianity for a lot of years. I've never heard them go over this scripture. I heard of this more like it be referenced in like cultural media, like in movies and things like that. Valley Dry Bones. But they don't talk about these things. They don't talk about the chariots. They don't talk about the angels and the faces and the many wings. So let's read Ezekiel 37:1, so we can understand that it starts with the identity, our process of coming back to life, because we're dead. Just like I told you, like Jon Snow in that show, he's dead inside. He still doesn't know that he's special, but he feels driven by something.
Mm-hmm.
So he's running around that way. So, supposed to find out next season.
Mm. Stay tuned.
But anyway, the effect that it had on him being raised that way, and everybody threw it in his face. Oh, you're a bastard. Kind of like us, right? Like nowadays, the ruling people, the people that, mm-hmm. that set themselves up amongst us, they continually feed you in different ways and tell you that you're base. And it's not necessarily always to your face. It's done in the benefits of white privilege, in when you walk outside and you see a movie poster,
right,
and nobody's playing any type of character unless it's of your people, unless it's a stereotypical character.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because even Denzel, they didn't give him an Oscar till he played a nigga drug dealing crooked cop.
Right. Why does Denzel have to be crooked before he takes it?
Right. He's played so many other roles that are just kind of general, good,
excellent
strong
roles. Excellent roles.
They definitely want to give him one for Malcolm. Oh. They want to give him one. Was he at least nominated for that? Do y'all recall?
I don't know.
It's a shame if he wasn't at least nominated, because then at least they could try to hide it and say, well, somebody else had a better performance that year.
Cap, you mentioned that's visual.
Right.
But even by titles, we have been labeled minorities.
Well, that's the point that I'm getting with the show, because everybody in the show would always throw it in his face that you're a bastard.
Right.
Oh, you're a bastard. You have no title. You'll never have a title to anything because you're a bastard. You're never going to have any type of land. You're never going to be able to get anything because your name is Snow.
Mm-hmm.
You know? A shit, basically. Right? Go ahead. Read Ezekiel 37 and 1.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones.
All right, so he's having an experience here where the Lord is showing him stuff, right? I kind of liken this to like when Morpheus showed Neo all that stuff
exactly,
in the Matrix.
That's exactly
and
what
the different visions
that's
came
exactly
about.
That's exactly what we're reading
so
right
it's like
now.
The vision,
this is the movie The Matrix,
so the vision,
right?
The visions are coming out. The visions
this
are coming out.
This is the
out.
Movie The Matrix.
So he shows him, he says, and he set me down in a valley that was full of bones. So if you can imagine, one minute I'm here in this room, and the next minute, the hand of the Lord via the angel takes me, and I'm surrounded by just human bones. Just
but in the Matrix, it was like that.
But a valley. But yeah, it was.
It took
him
to the mountains.
No,
it took him to those mountains. Remember, it was real dark and
yeah,
depressed.
Yeah. And you see a valley, right? Think about it. A valley. That Phoenix is a valley.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine the entirety of the bowl of Phoenix filled with bones. All right, this is where he took them. All right, go ahead.
And caused me to pass by them round about.
So that means he took them all around to show him the magnitude, the breadth of how many dry bones there were. Go ahead.
And behold, there were very many in the open valley.
So he took them round about and he said, wow, there were very many in this open valley. This is, it's a mass grave.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
And lo, they were very dry.
And he said, not only that, they weren't like bones, like, you know, like you eat like a piece of chicken. Some of y'all eat chicken wings and y'all eat all the cartilage, everything off of that, right? And the bone has moisture in it. There's still moisture and everything right in it. But you take that bone, right, and you put it out in the sun for a little while, it starts to crack and brittle, and you see cracks. So he says, not only are these bones, but they're dry, right? That means they're brittle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's shown there as a sign to show you how precarious the situation is, that the bones eventually turn to dust. And that's kind of where we're at in these last days for people. Like we have to wake up and realize our identity because there might not be any bones left. Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead.
And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest.
So he's telling him, hey, listen, even though these bones are here, and they're very dry. They're very brittle bones. You think they could live? He said, you know what, God? You know. I don't. Go ahead.
Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
This is a similitude, all right? He's telling you, A, I need you to prophesy unto these bones. Now, he doesn't mean to literally prophesy to a bunch of bones. But the bones are representative of the Israelites.
Similitude.
It's a similitude of our people and the condition that we're in without our identity. We're dead. We're a valley of dry bones. If you're walking around saying you're anything but what you really are, which is an Israelite, if you're saying you're a Puerto Rican, that you're I'm from a Cherokee, a Chakwa, whatever it is, if you're saying I'm black, I'm African-American, I'm Kemetic, I'm Mexican, I'm whatever it is. If you're saying you're Smith, you're Gonzalez, you're Lopez, you're Johnwell, whatever it is, okay, they're going to go ahead and you're in that condition. You're perpetrating that dryness. That's you. You're that valley of the dry bones. And it says, as a prophet, I need you to prophesy unto these bones and say unto these dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Which is what we do, which is why we're so fervent in what we do. There's no other motive for what we do. We don't act out. We don't do protests. We're not a violent group. We're not here seeking to raise money for world domination in that sense, okay? Because the scripture does say any of us who profess this truth say plainly that we seek a country. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do it in Christ's times, and Christ is going to deliver that, all right?
His term.
We are law-abiding citizens, all right? According to Romans 13, we must obey the powers that be. We accept where we're at, all right? Our revolution is in repentance. That's the actions that we take. But first, it starts with the identity. The identity is the most important part. Read on.
Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. And ye shall live.
He says, hey, you have to prophesy to them and say, I'm going to cause breath into you so that you may live. All right. That's talking about when we tell you exactly what I just said. The revolution is keeping the commandments. That's the breath of life. Mm-hmm. All right. 663 says, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Mm-hmm. Read on.
And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon
you. So when you look at like the skeletons and stuff like that, I had went, I think years ago, they have this thing called the body exhibit.
Yes.
I got to actually see, like, you know, these people donating their bodies to science and stuff like that. And you see all the stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't just have skin and bones. There's little tendons and sinews. That's what he's talking about that connects these things. There's cartilage. So he says there's a process that needs to happen here. As this prophesying happens by the prophets, he said, I will lay sinews upon you. What we're giving you in the understanding, the portion that we're given in the understanding that we have in prophesying this word to you is like you're in that dry bone state. You're in that Jon Snow mentality, and we're going ahead by the power of this word, all right? It's the Lord's glory and power. It starts to lay sinews upon you, all right? Go ahead.
And will bring up flesh upon you.
And then, so that means all the muscle and everything gets on there, right? Then the organs come into place, and then the flesh comes upon. This is a stronger similitude of being born again. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
And cover you with skin.
And then you get covered with skin. Go ahead.
And put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord.
And the breath is the commandments. This is why we teach identity and repentance. Identity and repentance. Not because we seek to be a racist group. Not because we're full of hate in our heart. If anything, I'm resigned and at ease with what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, I was talking to the bishop yesterday. And I was telling him, we were talking about how Trump is so funny, man. Like the stuff that he says. Like it, I said, it's almost like a kid ranting on social media. Yeah, it's like those people that say shake my haters off, like, you know, these people that live in that, because he gets so hot on social media over this stuff. I said, and sometimes you see him talking, I said, and it's like he doesn't think before he speaks.
Everybody says that.
So he speaks and he hears what he said, and that's why he repeats himself and he says the same thing in different ways. Mm-hmm. Because he realizes, oh snap, that just came out my mouth. I need to change that up a little bit. Wait, this came out my, and then he said, wait, damn, that's not what I wanted to say. It. I wanted to say it like this, and that's why he sounds so erratic and crazy. And I said, but guess what? I was telling Bishop, I said, I said I'm for Trump. I said, because guess what? God put him there. So that means God's for it. I said, and if Hillary would have been there, I'm for Hillary. I said, I'm not going to vote. When I say I'm for them,
right,
I'm not going to vote. I'm not going
to
be that.
Vote, yeah. We're commanded
so,
not
what,
to.
What it means is, you know what I'm like and how we should be as Israel in the movie Coming to America. And he gets his bride and he says, well, what's your favorite food? Do you have a favorite food? Yeah, I have a favorite food. What is it? Whatever your favorite food is. Right. Right? Right. So for me, when someone, hey, man, you like who you like in the election? Oh, I don't know yet. I'll see who wins. Oh, what does that mean? Oh, so do you like Trump? Yeah, I like Trump. Why? Because God likes Trump. Hey, what do you think about Trump's policy? I like it. Really? But, you know, you're an immigrant. All right. So let's say the ones of us that are repenting that we're immigrants, that we might get put back. Oh, yeah. Why? Because God says that. So it's like that's the mindset that we should have. Right. So I say all that to say, as we're putting our identity back, it doesn't matter these other things that are going on. What all that matters, and this is why we preach this, we have no other motive or agenda, all right, is that we're commanded by the Lord to raise up our people, and we understand that it starts with the identity first, all right? Read on. I want to go down to 11.
Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone.
So now he's having this vision and he prophesied and the Lord is making him experience what that revolution is going to look like as we wake up. Some of us are living that. Some of us came into this and there were handful of us, pockets of us, and we see the growth and we see our people repenting and returning to their true heritage, and we can appreciate that from being in a room with 10 men around a table and two teachers to seeing the thousands that are repenting. Okay.
Thousands.
Go ahead. Read on.
Verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, But there was no breath in them.
So you have many of our people who run around, and you have people that run around and they say, "Oh yeah, I've been in the truth 18 years." No, you haven't, brother. You've not been in the truth 18 years. Sister, you've not been in the truth 18 years. You've known you were Israel, but you didn't know how to live as an Israelite.
Especially when you're still calling David Tome.
Okay. That's like, yeah, right. That's like, that's like you're a duck and you live amongst wolves, right? And you say, "Hey, I know I'm a duck, but I'm doing what wolves do." No, then you're not fully repentant because you're not doing
so
what you need to do.
You're that kid from the Jungle Book.
Yeah, no. Yeah, or what was that movie with Howie Mandel? Walk like a man. He lived among wolves. He knew he was a man, but he lived among wolves. You're doing what wolves do. All right. There's no breath in you. In those 18 years, there was no breath in you. Those 20 years, those 10 years, whatever it is. Those of you running around saying you know, but you keep no laws. All right. There's no breath in you.
That goes in that scripture that I had brought to you last week about having the pure religion.
Right. Right.
James 1 says that to have the pure religion means that you're unspotted from the world.
Right.
So you're fully in this truth if you were still spotted by the things that comes with this life.
Right. 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 That's heavy, bro. That's heavy. Damn, that makes me wonder. And I'm thinking I wanted to add that to my class now today, maybe.
Here comes
I don't know
the
if there's
lava.
If there's opportunity, bring it out.
Here comes the lava.
read on.
Verse 9. Then said he unto me, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live."
That's the calling of the Holy Spirit, which are the laws, all right? That John 6:63, they are spirit, they are life, is the spirit that quickeneth. All right. That's what gives the life. So you're just a body. You're just the bones and flesh and no substance in you until you start to keep these laws. Read on.
So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
And when that happens, that's why I say that's the revolution. Repentance is the revolution. Keeping them laws is the revolution. That's when you will be emboldened, because if God stands for you, that's that Judith 5:20-21. When you are doing God's will, no man can stand against you. Right? Read verse 11. So you understand we are not talking out our behinds when I said that this is representative of Israel. Read.
Verse 11. Then he said unto me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel."
Oh, damn. You know what? I never heard that in church. I never heard that in church. Such emphasis.
More fire.
On that. These bones are the whole house of Israel. The whole house. Not just people who have dark skin. Not just people who have the woolly hair. Because Christ said, the Most High said, my heritage is like a speckled bird.
Right.
All right. Meaning, in Revelations, he says there's a mixed multitude. That doesn't mean other nations. That means of Israel. All right. That's going to be looking like all different types. This is why we don't judge by appearance. Christ did say, judge not by appearance.
Right.
We go by if your spirit beareth witness and by the seed of your father. And that's it.
And
we don't get more complicated than that. And if your history identifies with the curses, and it surely does, because there's people out there trying to talk, oh, Deuteronomy 28 don't apply to them. Well, Deacon Nathan, I don't even give heavy credence to that no more, because Deacon Nathan gave a heavy class called Northern Kingdom Undeniable that put that ish to bed.
I think it's fire.
If you wanted to go tit for tat on evidence, there's more evidence that substantiates that natives and Hispanics, as far as worldly evidence.
Right. No, yeah, there is.
To research that would substantiate the curses in the Bible being applicable to us than what you could find for these so-called Southern Kingdom haters. That's just Judah vexing Ephraim.
Right. It's easier to prove that the white man's Esau than it is that.
Right. Right.
That is true.
Right.
It is
right.
True. Read that last verse again.
Verse 11.
Oh, no, the verse wasn't done. The verse wasn't done.
Oh,
go ahead. Read.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Verse 11. Then he said unto me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel.
Go ahead.
Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts.
So back to the Jon Snow thing. This is how most of our people walk around. Our hope is lost, suffering from depression, illness. There's nothing. This is why we do stupid things like...
Spiritually dead.
Yeah, you're just, you know, this is why so many of our people seek to marry other nations. Right. They're looking for validation. They're looking for a sense of belonging. They're looking for a sense of purpose. The burning question in their mind, just like in the movie The Matrix, what is The Matrix? That's not the exact question, but the question is, what is my purpose? Why is it like this? Deep down, our people who are in those intermixed churches and they see their faith is shaken every time things like this happen.
It's just funny because I can relate to this 110% because I was that one Negro in the picture full of Edomites for the Christmas cards, you know,
photo.
You were the token one.
I was that guy
with the red, green, and white sweater.
Yeah. So it's funny to hear the captain say that because that's exactly what I was doing. I needed some kind of validation, some kind of credit. I needed something, you know, because I didn't have that sense in anything that I learned growing up. So
right.
That's pretty funny.
Read the first part of verse 11 again.
Verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel.
So Captain brought up something heavy before. He said he never heard that in the church. And you know what? They will never read past that to that verse. Mm-mm. Because once you read past that verse, and just goes to show you, it's there for you to read. And guess who will never read past that to that verse either? You, people who don't know who you are.
Right.
You have the verses there, right? But you won't go past. It's like there's a wall there. Because pastors stop there, I gotta stop there.
Or they'll read it with the New Testament mentality that we're all spiritual Israelites now. So they'll read
that's another thing too.
So they'll read that and then okay, that's for then, but now we're all grafted in.
Right. When you read further in the same verse, that describes the Black, Hispanic, and Native American right there. Mm-hmm. That has no hope. What does it say? Read the rest of it again.
Verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry.
Who says?
Behold, they say.
They say, meaning Israel.
Okay. Our bones are dry.
Don't we say that when you come home and you're looking at your check and you don't have enough and your kids are asking you for things?
Hey, I'm going to tell you another way that we say that. You're right. You're in the spirit with that. When we agree that we're the Gentiles. Mm.
You just gave up everything.
You're saying your bones are dry.
You're saying your bones
are dry. When you say that you're not the special people.
Yeah. When you say you're a Johnson, a right. Gonzalez, a Rivera, yeah. You're saying our bones are dry.
This is why our people love white Jesus so much, because it's like, yes, he's going to accept me.
Not the other ones, but this one. Right, that's a heavy point you just brought out there. That is very, very heavy, and it's a spiritual beatdown. That every time you look at that evil fake image in your mind, you're saying, you know what? Bob, Billy, Bridget, okay, they don't accept me, but this Caucasian man up here will.
I haven't heard Bridget in forever, but here's the precept for that. It says, this is Baruch 4, verse 3. Give not thine honor to another, nor the things that are profitable unto thee to a strange nation.
Mm.
So that's exactly what we're doing when, like Kevin said, when we're subscribing so easily that we're Gentiles rather than being the sons and daughters of the living God.
Hey, you know, there's some coon online that he's taken to watching our videos about the radio show in IUIC Phoenix, and he uses that scripture to say that we're like imposters and that
this scripture?
They're giving that to a strange nation, that we're a strange nation.
Wow.
he's an idiot.
Wow.
Hey, guess what? Go to them brothers, and I will tell you almost with a certainty, all right? I'm going to go out on a limb here because I believe in the power vested in me by the Lord Jesus, right? I believe in the authority that he's given me and the measure that he's given me, all right? They're not keeping the commandments.
No.
All right.
Not one.
So they have no life in them. They have no breath in them. They're just dead bodies flailing around.
Which is why they say the things that they say.
They're the walking dead.
Because
that's why they say what they're going to say.
Right.
That's why they say those stupid things.
Guess what? We had brothers that felt the same way, but they repented. They put that aside. And now they see.
Their efforts, literally their efforts, their videos are in trying to show that we're not Israel, the northern tribes. All right. And they don't do any type of prophesying like what Ezekiel commands to the ones that should awake.
Right.
and breathe the breath of life into them.
You know what the argument is? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
What their argument is, show me a Native American or a Puerto Rican walking around Africa. That's their argument. And that,
oh, that's a new one. I've seen that.
That's so
ignorant. Because
they got to understand that not all 10 tribes came to this part of the earth.
No.
A large remnant stayed back that didn't mix with the conquistadors, so on and so forth, that have features
that stay looking
that woolly hair,
right,
dark
right,
skin.
Right. What they fail to realize is that this is why I say some brothers who profess Judah may be really gad, and they bug out when I say that, thinking that they're thinking, feathers and all that stuff like that. Like, but like the stereotypical what's perpetrated in the media type of Indian.
Right.
But you could have 4 so-called black men that are professing Judah in the room, and the Lord could have it that one of them is Ephraim, one of them is this, one of them is that.
That's right.
It's just because we understand with the different things that went on with the migrations and the intermingling, but the Lord is the one who knows how he kept that lineage pure. Mm-hmm. It goes on like that, all right? That's why it says genealogy is a fool's discussion.
Right.
All right? Because
that's why the scripture says to avoid genealogy.
Right. Right. Avoid all that stuff. Go with what you know. Identify with the curses, and the Lord will sort it out. The Lord. Listen, it says that Christ is going to separate the wheat from the tares. Christ is going to do that. So you out of order, you brothers that are on there teaching that madness instead of teaching repentance and identity to our people. Because you're thinking that you have the authority and the power to separate the wheat from the tares.
That's a heavy
the
point.
The Lord is the one that's going to do that. When Christ returns, he's going to do that. So shuff up.
That's a heavy point, Kev. Fix your face.
Fix your face.
And another thing, it says there in Ezekiel that, so he prophesied. What? Give me that one there. So he prophesied. So I prophesied.
Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them.
Stop. So he prophesied as he was commanded. What this radio show does, what we do when we put out our videos, when we out in camp, while we doing our fly missions, we are prophesying as we are commanded to. And that is the mediums that's going to wake our people up. These radio shows, these speaking engagements, okay? These a camp, flyer missions, commercials. Okay, everything that we do, all right, as long as we're bringing out the from the Bible and the Lord's words, that's exactly what Ezekiel was doing. And that's what we were told to do when we came into this youth, to prophesy. Prophesy means to talk, right, to teach. To teach what? This Bible on who you are. Teach your true nationality. That's why, again, 1 Kings 8, okay, says it, all right. We have to bethink ourselves first. That's why no matter how we try to sway away from not talking about nationality, you got to bring it up because that's the first step. Nothing else matters. The second step, which says, and ask for supplication, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That don't matter if you're doing it as a Johnson, right, as a Gonzalez, as a Rivera.
Right, right.
None of that matters. So you have to bethink yourself, and we have to hammer in your head who you are, because the Bible says that, because those are the steps to repentance. Bethink yourself. You cannot go ahead and get the kingdom of heaven thinking that you are a Johnson, a Rivera, a Gonzalez,
or a Mexican, or Puerto
Mexican,
or
Puerto Rican, or African American. You're not going to get the kingdom of heaven like that, because Revelation 7 says you're not going to get it like that, because Revelation 7 says you had 12,000 for me to be sealed. Sealed means you convince unconvincingly. Okay.
Right. So with that being said, public service announcement, there will be no African Americans, blacks, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Jamaicans,
Dominicans,
Cubans,
Hispanics,
Christians, Catholics,
Haitians,
Muslims, Methodists in the kingdom of God.
Okay,
only
you're not
repented Israelites from the respective tribes of the nation of Israel.
That's
right.
Right.
You're not going to see that in the Revelation doesn't say that the 12 gates had Jamaican, Puerto Rican on it. Right? It said it had the 12 names of the 12 tribes.
That's right.
Man, you know what? But going back real quick, because God made an excellent point. He said that it's the Lord that's going to shift the wheat and the tares.
That's right.
So these men that think that they have the authority
right,
to
like
do
they
that.
They had the authority. Yeah, that's blasphemy right there in and of itself.
That's exactly what it is. They have no faith. That's like he said, they don't keep no commandments. That's why they're void of that understanding. Yes. That's very simple and easy to understand when you read that parable that Christ gave. It
even if they're not decide that.
Caller number 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. Think we on fire, man. I think we on fire, man. I don't know. We're so on fire. The K's don't even want to touch it.
Too hot.
Any words of wisdom, brother? Because, you know, you... Anything you want to add to this? Because we...
I know, and I was like, damn, I ain't got no nothing for the
And
for
we
the
really didn't, you know, I mean, you know, of course, a lot of things. North Korea shot another missile out there. There was a bombing in London, I think it was, again. You know, those are all the signs, man, that we talk about every show, you know, that Christ said to look out for. You know, wars and rumors of wars. You know, nation rising against nation. That's just... This is just biblical times, man. You know? So... Anything you want to add, brother, man? I mean, you're just absorbing all of this, huh?
Man, it's just a pleasure to sit in front of leadership.
Oh,
just,
man.
You know,
oh, listen,
you know,
man.
You read these scriptures and then it comes to life.
Bro, you sit with us every week.
Yeah. Back-to-back week, you've been on his radio show, too.
Yeah.
You'll probably be here next week, too.
I know, right?
Somehow his name will get in that list.
They're going to throw him on the list.
I'll take any brother, man, but that's my man right there, man.
I'll bring him out real quick. Give me Ecclesiasticus, Sirach 12 and verse 10. Just to touch on it real quick, I know that we may not have much time, but this past Wednesday...
We got like 14 minutes.
Okay, well, this past Wednesday, the Democrat Party and President Donald Trump came to a quote-unquote agreement on the DACA that saved some 800,000 immigrants from being deported, all right? Read that first.
The book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 10. Never trust thine enemy, for like as iron rusteth, so is his wickedness.
So the scripture says, never trust thine enemy, all right? Our enemy chiefly is the Edomites, which is the Caucasian race today. So even though this may seem like a good thing on the surface, it's always something hidden to fit their agenda behind it, all right? So don't be pacified by this, and then now this is... to put our people back to sleep, all right? Give me Ecclesiastes in the 66, chapter 1 and verse 9, all right? Because we got to understand something. You so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, you are the Israelites the Bible speaks of, all right? Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun.
So this is the scripture that we go to explain regeneration. All right. Give me Acts 18, verse 2. Now, I wanted the point from that particular verse where it says there's nothing new under the sun. All right. The same spirits come back into the earth. That's why they say history repeats itself. You hear all these things. All right. So. Deja vus. So these 800,000 people that could potentially be deported from so-called America, that's happened to our people before, and this further proves that you Hispanics are the Israelites that the Bible speaks of. Read that.
The book of Acts 18, verse 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome.
Mm. So the same way that our people were kicked out of Rome by Claudius Caesar is the same thing that Trump's trying to do today to the so-called Hispanics and send them back to Mexico. It's the same afflictions happening over and over again, further proving that you are the Israelites that the Bible speaks of.
Swish.
Swish.
Swish. All net, brother. That was all net on that one, bro.
I know. I wanted to bring it up.
That was on that, man. Because you know how many times I've read that scripture and I haven't even related it to what's going on now?
We're spitting hot fire.
That's because you're too busy watching Driving with Miss Daisy.
If you stop watching Driving Miss Daisy, all right, and open up Ecclesiastes.
No, but that's really what it is. And so I brought that out to bring out the point that you were saying about them trying to prove that Northern Kingdom's not Israel. And that thing bugs my spirit to the umpteenth degree. I hate that thing because
it's not because you're Northern Kingdom.
Because I mean,
he might be. I don't know. I think we're leaning towards that.
But it's okay if they're not Israel, then that means that we got a long way of captivity to go. Because then, who is the Northern Kingdom of Israel then?
Hey, Let me give you one of the quick curses. Give me Deuteronomy 28:31. Tell me who this sounds more like.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 31. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof.
All right, so let me just do that part. What happened? What was one of the strategies America used against the so-called Native Americans?
Killed all their buffalo.
Killed all their buffalo before their eyes.
Which is an ox, by the way.
Which is an ox, okay.
It was like 2,200 buffalo they killed a day.
Mass buffalo, and then put them on supplying meat for them. Mm-hmm. Poison, rotten, nasty meat, and got them all sick. They would literally put diseases into the meat.
Right.
And they had to get the meat from them. Hey. They took their livelihood with that. Read on. Wait.
Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue
thee. I don't know, man. That sounds like Gad to me. Read verse 32.
Verse 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people.
Didn't they send them to their schools to de-Indianize
That's
them?
Right, right.
All right? These Indian boarding schools. We have an Indian school road here in Phoenix.
Right.
All right? Where do you think these names come from? Read on.
And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand.
Why? Because they pushed them onto reservations, made them dependent on the government, and told them it would be good for their kids. And they took their kids and they made them very modernized, very Americanized, taught them Christian values, started to make them forget their history. Man, there's so many, man. That's just a portion.
There was no might in their hand when they took Squanto back on slave ships to England. He learned English.
There was no might in their hand back during the Trail of Tears.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? That's heavy. During the Trail of Tears, man. Okay, they had a few make them walk to another part of out of their
Well, they had to walk, I think, all the way to Oklahoma because that's where they were pushing
from
them.
From Florida.
From Florida to Oklahoma.
All the way to Oklahoma.
On foot.
There's so many died, bro, because of the conditions under that. Like
that was who was that? Was that Jackson?
Jackson. Mm. Andrew Jackson.
Hey.
Andrew Jackson.
Bartolome de las Casas, a short account of the destruction of the Indies. Deuteronomy 28, all over that. Bartolome de las Casas. A short destruction of the account of the Indies.
You know what? You want to go? Let's hit it right there. Deuteronomy 28.
Hey, even Deuteronomy 28:68. Because it tells you distinctly in that book and many others that they took them in ships within the region to other areas to work as slaves and back to Europe to work as slaves.
Deuteronomy 28:49.
The book of
refute this right here.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
It is documented in many books, in the same book that the captain just brought out, that we did not speak Spanish. They read us the requerimiento, the requirement, in Spanish, knowing that we didn't understand that language. They came from far, okay? Europe. And even if you don't subscribe to the notion that 2 Ezra 13, right, a nation from far still came to this part of the earth.
No, they're retarded. They're retarded when they try to refute 2 Ezra. Because it says where never mankind dwelt. And they cannot substantiate that part. They go into that the Euphrates was dried up on different times in history. All types of BS, bro.
He said that they passed over the Euphrates, meaning they went over the river into
And it says a year and a half, and then it says God held still the flood, term historically what they called the ocean. So it wasn't a river. Why would they say the river and then flood, meaning a river? It's two different things, moron.
And a river
idiot.
Come on, man. Come on.
Yo, and then they're trying to say the journey was a year and a half. It says where never mankind dwelt.
He said, kind of like how you have people that live out in like the country by themselves. You know, that's never where mankind dwells. You know, they just out there by themselves.
Oh,
it's the same
man,
thing.
Yo.
They went to a secluded area where no one was.
Hey, you know what
so
that
you,
is?
You mean a whole nation of people? Come on.
Yo, I'm going to tell you something, bro. And it was 10 tribes.
That's what I'm saying.
So that was a lot of people, bro. That was a great migration, bro. It wasn't like, you know, maybe like 5,000, 6,000.
Right.
It was 10 whole tribes and their families and all of that.
Right.
And he talking about, it's like, you know, some people live in the country, so there were parts of Africa that were uninhabited.
Right.
No, no. Well, the term "whenever mankind dwelt" meant to tell you that it was someplace that man had never touched before and didn't know about. Not like, bro, it's retarded, man. It's retarded. Like, you know, listen, it might come across a little crass as I say it right now, but I was watching like the guys. I watched a few minutes of the guy's commentary while I was taking a crap because that's what deserves to be watched because it was shit. That's why.
I actually did the same thing. That's
right?
Funny.
Okay. Freaking garbage. It's ridiculous, man. But what's funny is that it's to me, when I see that and I hear that, and they're actually it's a minority. It's not a lot of people that are rolling with that.
Nah, that's not a lot of people. Not at all.
So yeah, it's like a gnat trying to, you know what I'm saying, trying to do battle with a locomotive.
And they don't realize.
I'm not even gonna say like another animal. We're like a moving train that's going full speed down the tracks. And then a little gnat tries to come up. If even 50 or 100 gnat came up, you're just gonna get squashed, bro.
Yeah, they don't realize that. Even if they are following commandments, which obviously they're not, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments.
Right, right. They think they're gonna affect any type of change on the mission and what we're doing.
Even if they're not, if they are keeping the commandments, let's say, right, which we know they're not, they don't realize that's blasphemy. Okay, they don't realize that's contrary to what the Most High, and you're going to have issues.
And to your point, you said what you said is a good tree is going to bear good fruit.
Right.
And an evil tree is not going to bear anything.
Right.
You know?
Hey, I was going to add that to my class today, but when my class was getting Yawasap-esque, so I had to cut it because I was like, damn, there ain't no way I might have enough time to go over it. But I was going over that scripture about the good tree bearing good fruit and all of that stuff like that, man. That's, you know, I'll touch on it a little bit.
About
blessing and cursing coming out the mouth. I'll touch on
this. This is Acts 5, verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel is the work be of men, it will come to naught.
Right. Mm. You heavy, bro.
Bro, that's what it comes down to.
Throw some water on him.
It's too hot. If you're thinking what we're doing is not of God, then be patient and then watch it be brought to naught. But like how the captain said, this locomotive is not stopping. Why? Because we keep the commandments in the faith of the Messiah Christ.
Amen. Hey, like it said in verse 10 of Ezekiel 37, he said, and they stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. When did that happen? When the breath of life was breathed into them. What's the breath of life? The commandments.
The commandments.
Talk to me when you're keeping the commandments, bro. That's it.
A good understanding of all they that do his commandments.
Yeah.
And you know how you know that's hate? Because as long as you know that you're an Israelite, what should it matter?
Right.
If the other ones aren't, it'll be
decided. Because there's no oil, bro. They ain't got no oil. They left their oil, bro.
No aceite.
They said, hey, I'm going to go on this journey, but I ain't going to bring oil for my lamp.
They didn't count the cost.
Nope. Whether it was sufficient to finish. It's ridiculous, man. Hey, and that just goes back to what they don't realize is they're really buying into the whole, they're more in subjection to the so-called white man.
I was going to say that. That's the same person that's typing
Esau, who the world incorrectly calls the white
world,
man.
The world
just like
ignorantly
calls
the white man.
Just like
those
so-called blacks that are all for the Mexicans going back. I see that. And
I'm going to tell you, you got Mexicans that are all for Mexicans going back.
Yeah. Hey, you got, man. You know, I'm not even going to go there. I'll mention it offline because I don't want to put it on the air. But you're 150% correct.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest with you. Before I repented, I was one of those that was for that.
Yeah, huh?
Before I repented.
Yeah, you were like, yeah, they come here and they didn't do it right. And
yeah. No, I didn't say it like
they
that.
They must go back. I think you did.
I was one of those. But just goes to show you, okay, Paul was killing his own people too.
Right.
For following Christ.
Right.
Until he had to get a wake-up call.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
Got the Negro wake-up call when he fell off the horse and went blind.
Hey, so we got a minute and a half left before show's over. So unless I always say this, unless something really more prevalent comes up, I had some stuff up that I wanted to go over that's very underreported. And not that we're a major news network, but, you know, it's relevant for our people. Venezuela, man, they about to collapse, bro.
And that's all by design.
And I wanted to read this article about them. I'm not going to be able to do it today, so Lord's will next week. And then I wanted to go into, you guys have heard me talk about it before, about the School of the Americas, all right, which is now called like the Western Hemisphere or something. They changed that. I'm going to show you the craftiness, bro. I got a few links, some websites. We can read the article. We're going to talk about
our brothers and sisters down in Venezuela and kind of what's going on there and how the U.S. has targeted
They want that oil. And let me tell you something real quick. The reason why Kim Jong-un, North Korea, is doing what he's doing because he saw what happened when Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi gave up their missiles.
Kim Jong-un.
The minute they gave up their nuclear program, they got overtaken.
Yep, they were done.
So you know his father has a lot of history, and he told him before he died, you make sure you stick by your guns. That's the only thing we got. We got 20 seconds.
Okay, well, back to the haters real quick.
All right.
Paul said 18 seconds. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 that we would have perils of our own countrymen and false brethren. Mm. So bring the hate.
Bring it.
We're hating for Christ's name. Native and Latin and Black Law's History Show, right? We're signing off.
Ooh-wee.
With that, we say shalom.
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 Romans 8:16. Oh, he spoke. He spoke with gas.